This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, and we just wrapped up what we thought was going to be a snoozer, ended up being a banger. 3-point win for the Rams. Your futures tickets survive. Your 10-point tickets or 10.5-point tickets, they go down in flames as an easy cover there for the Panthers. And Mike, like we said, when it counted most, Stafford, Nakua, Devontae Adams. And then, of course, the touchdown just to Parkinson there. It was you got the superstar players. They played like stars when they had to.
They did, and on both sides too. Like this was a great game by Bryce Young to be able to drive Carolina down, get the lead after a block punt, and like the Rams able to respond, able to move right down the football field, got the ball back with about two and a half minutes left in the fourth quarter, needing a touchdown, down four, able to just consistently move the ball down the field. You mentioned it, Nakua, two big pass plays. Devontae Adams had a big play on the drive, and then the throw to Parkinson, the catch to keep in bounds, to be able to get to the pylon, all a phenomenal job by him to be able to give this Rams a 34-31 victory, which was sewn up by the defense, creating pressure on Bryce Young on all four snaps once they got the football back, despite the fact that there was 38 seconds and three timeouts, Carolina not able to get into field goal range and end up falling just short here.
So all of the books going in one direction and the other book being Circa, going in the other direction. So we are seeing all the twos evaporating, Mike. Everybody taking the two with Chicago while we come off of the pick here, and it is now 1 point in favor of Green Bay. So the money on the Packers here at Circa, money on the Bears everywhere else in the country.
Very interesting. I mean, Circa, obviously one of these sharper books, and so it's interesting that move. Now, they were also on a different number than the rest of the country. So despite going to -1 on the Packers, they're still the low on the board. Mm-hmm. That has to be remembered as well, as you can get 2.5, 1.5, or 2 or 1.5 in the majority of places if you want Chicago here at plus money. They're at Circa just +1 now on Chicago. Again, both Matt and I played some Bears money line once Tom was out. And we've got I'm on a prop here with Swift over 61.5 rushing yards. I do think this is a game that both teams are going to rely on the run.
I'm looking out here kind of giggling, Mike, because we might just be see people like cashing their ticket and immediately refiring is what might be going on. There is four, five windows that are about 6-7 people deep out there. Right, okay, there we go. There's a live shot you can see of all of the people that are probably just going like, okay, thanks for that money and I'll take the Packers. Thanks for that money and I'll take the Packers. Yeah. There you go. Like they're just trading their winning ticket in right now and flipping it there onto the Packers, who again did move to one here, but all the twos are gone in the market. So it is 1.5 everywhere now in favor of Green Bay, but Chicago money at DraftKings, at FanDuel, at Caesars, at MGM, at Fanatics. So every other place is taking Chicago money as we approach kick.
Well, it's interesting because you say taking Chicago money. This was 1.5 all week, and we saw a little bit of Packers money roll in to get it to 2, 2.5 in some places. Majority of the places I'll say was 2. You had the DraftKings out there, 2.5. Not surprised we're just back at the 1.5, right? But this was the line that we saw basically on open. You either had pick. There were a couple places that had Bears -1.5, but the majority was Packers -1 or 1.5. We settled at Packers -1.5 for the majority of the week. Here we are. 5-10 minutes to kickoff, right back at Packers -1.5. So I'm not surprised that we saw the Bears money after we saw that Packers money.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the play. So the you can talk to me here, but we have only a couple of minutes in order to get this bet in. So officially has shown up. It's going to be 8:10 Eastern, 5:10 Pacific for kick. So we got about 6 minutes here in this one, Mike. So the Bears defense, while it has played better here of late, has been very susceptible to the deep ball. They have gotten beat over the top a lot. And I'm wondering if we try and throw a dart at a receiver for longest catch from the Packers side of things. The problem is again, you just never know who it's going to be or who it could be. So like, that's why I say maybe throw a dart because there's not an obvious contender for this.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it'd be Christian Watson. He's the one who's most likely going to get multiple deep shots in this game. You're like, the problem is usually when you're handicapping longest reception, you know which guy is going to get all of the deep shots. With the Packers case, it could be more than one guy, but Christian Watson sitting at 25 and a half yards. To me, if you get those cover zero blitzes, like we saw like Chicago run against this Green Bay team the first time they met, Christian Watson is the most likely guy to be a recipient of that. And he's also someone who can go up and make a play when he's in one-on-one coverage. So Christian Watson over longest reception, 25 and a half yards would be the player that I would lean toward. Don't mind Burden over 19 and a half longest reception as well. Chicago is going to try and use Luther Burden quite a bit in this game. With Adunze back, he moves to the slot. That may benefit him here after he's been playing on the outside for a couple straight games.
Yeah, I want to point out just I know you guys are probably seasoned bettors at this point, and if you've been with us for a long time, you know we brought this up. But we might be listening, might be getting some new ears and some new eyeballs out there right now. So, Mike, just in that market on DraftKings, click longest reception over under, which I know you did. So you see Christian Watson?
Yep.
Now look directly under it and click longest reception.
Yeah, minus 122 for 25 plus minus 105 for 25 and a half. There's shenanigans that go on in these numbers. Make sure you look at multiple ways to bet the same thing and get the best prices. 17 cents, not the half yard in a longest reception prop, not worth anywhere near 17 cents.
No. So just again, it is like one of those deals where you're like, okay, this is way too, that's worth four cents tops.
Maybe.
4 cents tops.
Maybe like two.
Yeah.
Another point, go three down. Luther Burden, longest reception, over under 19 and a half, minus 115. Right directly below, 20 plus, minus 112. 3 cents better, taking the 20 plus for the exact same wager. Because a 20 plus yard catch is also longer than 19 and a half, Matt. Don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
So, but you're literally getting 3 cents discount just by clicking a second button and going down. So it goes both ways. It's why it's important to shop around and look over like, hey, I like this bet. Let's see if there's another way to bet it on the same site that you're going to get a better price on.
Yeah. So just remember, they're usually for things like this, the receiving yards over under will also have that kind of just receiving yards X plus whatever. Always just check both, because like Mike said, you might actually get a price for the exact same better price for the exact same bet just within the same site because they just don't move in correlation. Like they are their own markets, and so they don't move at the same time.
Well, with same game parlays specifically, when you look at like receiving yards and you've got the ladders up top, those often are very different pricing than the just over unders. Right? Because those are inserted into a lot more parlays. You're going to have different liability than just directly the over-under total bet. And so you're going to get different pricing in there. So anytime you're looking at a receiving yards or rushing yards over or under, if you're going to play over, make sure you're looking at what those ladder prices are as well. You can often get a discount or you get a worse price by playing those. So you got to make sure you check it out and decide which way you want to go.
I had to turn around and look. It is true. So we are at two now here at Circa.
Wow.
On the Packers.
Lots of Packer money then.
So we have moved 2 points 5 minutes before kickoff here. Again, we didn't get to a key number or anything, but I mean, that just kind of lets you know where all the action is here late. It's one-way traffic.
Yeah. And again, not a huge move because you're going from pick 'em to two. So you're essentially you're sitting in a situation where you're never tying in the playoffs. Yeah. So zero doesn't matter,
and
right?
It's just a straight pick 'em. And they have no teaser liability here. None. Because they don't have good I'm not saying anything they don't say themselves. Like they're not big into trying to get into the teaser market or whatever. So like there's no teaser liability for Circa.
No, there's not. And now it's one of those situations where I still like the Bears on a teaser leg. It's interesting that you look at Circa's money line plus 108 on the Bears. That is one of the lower money lines that's available out there because you're seeing other -1.5s at plus 110. So you can still get a better money line price at a lot of places. However, you are seeing Bears +2 there at Circa now.
Yeah, just a very interesting deal. Cause I mean, that's why I'm wondering if there's, by the way, check ceremony last night here. So there are a lot of people who got their payouts from the contest this past week. There are a lot of people with extra money. And I do wonder, because I mean, this sat at pick all week long here. I mean, like this sat at pick all week long. And now we're seeing this 2 point move 5 minutes before kickoff. I mean, it does make me wonder if we literally have, 30 different people who all got $25,000 plus dollars yesterday, and some that got $3.7 million yesterday, So, I mean, there's a lot of extra money out there right now.
Well, and you would like this has got to be pretty sharp money if it's moving Circa's number 2 points as well. Like it's not recreational money coming in. You would generally expect that it is larger wagers by people they respect that is forcing them to move this line toward the Packers side of it. We'll see if we get any buyback on the Bears before we kick off, but we are literally at kick time here in Chicago, so I'd be surprised if we don't kick it too.
Ooh, Bears taking the ball. Mike, they want to go show the Packers what's up. Look at that.
I like it.
The Bears will take the ball. By the way, if you can sneak in a first touchdown score, Bears are going to get the ball first. So there you have it. If they're still up at any of the books out there, the Bears do get the ball first. They can give you at least a little bit of an advantage. Yeah.
Yeah. First quarter, if you can get the Bears plus a half, that's now a profitable bet if you know they're the ball first.
Goodness gracious. That is interesting. I mean, I guess, again, Mike, like we said, maybe there's some stuff they've seen on film here about why this Packers defense has fallen off a cliff over the last 6 weeks. And they're like, you know what? Let's go kick them in the teeth to start the game.
I got to say, Matt, I am unhappy.
Okay.
After all of these videos of snow, turn on the screen, see the field, no snow on the field. Looks like it stopped snowing. I wanted the precipitation here, Matt. I wanted a snow game. We deserve a snow game in the playoffs. Well, and looks like we're not going to get it now.
Blame it on the heaters in the field. You know, like tell them.
Well, the heaters didn't make it stop snowing about 10,000, 20,000 feet in the air, Matt.
Yep. So we are going to kick at 1.5 everywhere in the market, except for out here behind me. It is 2:46.5. So that total held tight again. Didn't see snow on the field by the time we got to this game, so people did not come and bet the under. So that's where we will kick, and we'll keep you updated here on Ready, Set, Bet.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are underway over on Amazon Prime, Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. The Bears have the ball 2nd and 10 out at the 45-yard line. And they won the toss and said, give us the ball, Mike Somich. We do not see that very often in the NFL anymore. Most teams want to get the ball coming out of half, but like we said, maybe the Bears and Ben Johnson saw something on film and go, let's go try to expose that real quick and make this Packers team have to play from a deficit.
Yeah, they have to believe they have an advantage on the offensive side of the football. And they got a first down, but now they're sitting at 3rd and 8. We'll see if they're able to convert and prove it. They clearly want to play from ahead, which is something they did not do against San Francisco at any point in that game. It's something that they've struggled with against Green Bay. Playing from ahead, a clear strategy here for Chicago. We'll see if they're able to do it as they run a screen to Burden on 3rd and 8, and he's going to pick up the first down and then some. Almost longest reception. Yeah. It doesn't quite get there. So again, first down for Chicago Bears inside the Green Bay territory here.
Yeah, this is, again, this they wanted the ball, a couple of first downs, so already successful. I know you want points, but it wasn't as long as you don't 3 and out and like you're going to, no matter what, you're going to flip field position here, et cetera, et cetera. So good on the Bears. And again, this did kick at 1.5, 2. The only two out here behind me at Circa. It was 1.5 everywhere else in the market out there. It had gotten to 2 at most spots. And so, Mike, we did see late money here on the Packers, late money everywhere else on the Bears.
Yeah, it was interesting to see it, too, because we saw that like it was sitting at pick at Circa, and we saw 2.5 on DraftKings. Mm-hmm. And we saw those lines kind of flip-flop, right? Which is not necessarily what you'd expect right before game time. We saw that Bears money come in on DraftKings, push that down to 1.5. But at Circa, we saw that significant amount of Packers money to push it up to 2. Rare to see a 2.5-point split. But again, the difference between 0, 2.5, not nearly as big as if you cross over a key number like 3 or 7. So not shocked we saw some movement to even it out in the market as the best price available was pick at Circa. I was surprised it did get to 2, though, because that takes multiple big bets.
Well, oh, God. Okay.
Trickeration. At least he didn't throw it. At least he didn't throw it, Matt Brown.
Cole Kmet comes around. Guess what? By the way, if anyone's wondering, I guess Cole Kmet's left-handed. So now we know Cole Kmet is left-handed. Yeah. But this is the little double pitchy woo-woo, and then it was supposed to be a throwback. He wanted to throw it so bad. The guy was actually behind the defender, but there was a safety over the top, and Cole Kmet was like, I ain't trying that throw. Like, I'm not doing that. Zero chance. So he goes out of bounds, made it third and inches, and then we get the first down there with Monongai. So it is going to be another first and 10, already in field goal range. So, Mike, they asked for the ball, and at the very least, barring a turnover, we'll have a chance to put points on the board.
Yeah, right now 23 yards through the air, 21 yards on the ground. So very balanced attack here on the first drive. Burton has 17 of those receiving yards. Swift has 11 on the ground. Monongai 9 in his one carry. So we're seeing this Bears offense be able to execute early against this Packers defense, which we mentioned really struggled to close out the year once you lost Parsons and saw other injuries start to affect them.
And so they try another trick play and lose a billion yards. I mean, it's just like, okay, man, like,
we get it, Ben. You can design some cool
you're
stuff.
You're cute. Yeah, I know.
The regular stuff is working.
You're
just
smart.
Throwing it out there.
You're smart. We get it. You're smart. We're now 5.5 minutes into this drive. We're gonna snap this next ball 6 minutes into this drive, and like, it's nothing's happened. Like, it's just like, come on. What are you doing? Why? What is the point?
They're fortunate that wasn't a fumble.
Yeah. He hit Burton.
I mean, the Packers defensive end comes in unblocked, and Luther Burton gets an inside handoff when you were faking the option the other direction and holds onto the ball, loses 4 yards, but at least holds onto the football.
So they run it again, don't even get back to four. So now it's going to be third and 11, and you put yourself behind. We just talked about that.
Interesting.
Mike. The advantage is you've been so good on early downs, and Green Bay's been so bad on early downs, and you run stupid stuff. You know, I don't know. Again, I've never coached one single down in the NFL though. So
I don't love the run on second down there either. Like, you really need to gash them to get to third and manageable. Now you're sitting here in third and 12. We'll see if they can pick it up. But yeah, when you take the ball, I want you to be aggressive, and a second and 14 run is not aggressive.
Oh my gosh. Great catch. Is that Moore?
I believe. DJ Moore.
Yeah. Great catch.
Snags it out of the air, converts the first down. We're going to have first and 10 for Chicago from right around the 11-yard line. You mentioned it. Already 7 minutes into this drive as Chicago moves into the hurry up.
That was the blessing and the curse pass right there with Caleb Williams, that he has a howitzer for an arm, and he threw that like way too hard. But DJ Moore was able to, like you said, just pick it out of the air. But going to be second and 10 here. We are down to 7:56 in the first quarter, opening drive of the game. Green Bay has not possessed the ball yet.
Talking about like being too smart. So the Bears then ran hurry up after that completion. They clearly thought they saw something. DJ Moore was your running back.
Yeah.
So they didn't have any running backs on the field. So they split out two wide with a tight end and then DJ Moore running back. Did not work out well for them. Looks like Zakir is now in the backfield as well. This has been an interesting first drive from Chicago. Swift gets a carry. He'll take it inside the 10. Third and five setting up here for Chicago on their first drive.
Yeah. Ben Johnson decided he was going to prove to everyone just how smart he is in this game. And
yes,
it's third and five, and you are one play away from having to settle for a field goal after you chewed away over half of the first quarter. I mean,
the bag of tricks is bigger than Santa's sack in this game already, and we are only 7 minutes into it.
I mean, this is they're going to take this snap at about 7:15 in the first quarter. No, they're not. They're going to run it even lower. They're going to run it all the way down to 7:12. So we're going to get to the 7 minute mark. Basically, Caleb Williams backpedals, has to throw it out of bounds. So after all that, 8 minutes off the clock, and there will be a field goal attempt.
Underbetters rejoice everywhere, Matt.
I mean, yes.
That's why I'm saying.
Yeah, look at that.
You just sucked up half the first quarter without ever really threatening to score a touchdown, and you're going to result in a field goal here. I would say that's good if you're an underbetter.
That was unbelievable. It was derailed by the trick play. Like, you tried two trick plays on your opening possession. I mean, like, one trick play, whatever. It almost backfired, but it didn't. And then literally 2 plays later, you run another one. Like,
Well, what derailed this drive was after the Moore catch, you ran hurry up without a formation that you had set up for hurry up. You only ended up with two wide receivers outside. Moore was in the backfield. He didn't even run a route. And you had double coverage on both your wide receivers. You burned first down. It just like a lot of interesting calls on that drive.
It is up and good. So we have a 3-0 lead in favor of the Bears on this live line. Let's go ahead and hit the refresh so that I can make sure they give you the most up to date here. And we are sitting at 1.5 in favor of Green Bay. So we went off as Green Bay is 1.5, and we are still sitting Green Bay 1.5. Again, they've not possessed the ball yet. 43.5 now the total. So we're down 3 points off of the start. And it's basically a coin flip over there on the money line.
Yeah, it's I would say a good start for Chicago. Without the shenanigans, they probably have a better shot at getting into the end zone, but you still take the football and you put points on the board, which is, I think, what their goal was here. They wanted to play from in front, something they have not done a ton so far this season. Now they have that opportunity up three here before Green Bay touches the football. I don't mind it as long as you're confident that you're going to be able to score, and they were able to put up three. And again, this is a Chicago team that started slower in a lot of games, so that's a positive sign for them out of the gate.
So we talked about these kind of like live deals, right? So they also have live touchdown score. Of course, we have not had a touchdown yet. So Josh Jacobs -155. That is way too much to use. Christian Watson +165. Swift +170. Dobbs +225. Monongai +235. Loveland +270. Reed +270. Burden +280. You're not really getting good prices on anybody here, Mike, actually.
Especially considering that, like, we just sucked up half the first quarter, right? Yeah. Like,
I know
the Bears probably get two, maybe three more possessions, depending on how this plays out in the first half, unless you see like a lot of three and outs, right? So you're just limiting the opportunities to be able to try and get into the end zone.
That is, yeah, that was super interesting right there. Green Bay's first drive, punt +120, field goal +330, touchdown +215, and turnover on downs or safety is 6-1.
Interesting.
Plus money on the punt.
Yeah. Kind of feels like a field goal to me, Matt.
All right.
I think we're gonna get back to back field goal drives here.
Maybe we'll have to just start like doing just friendly little back and forth
around.
$10 wagers with
one.
Each other. That would be fun. Suspended. So again, this kick has been off, even though we're behind. So we'll let you know here. We're probably like triple delayed now because this is on Amazon. So this is we might be like a whole minute behind.
Yeah, we don't really know here. As the returns out to about the 25-yard line, there are multiple flags and a fight. It looks like
the Bears
have it.
They think they have it. We're gonna see where the flag is. We will let you know how this all shakes out whenever we come back. Unfortunately, they're not going to make the call by the time we go. It's Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
14-yard run, 9-yard pass, 33-yard pass, and 9-yard run. And we have a very good drive going here from the Green Bay Packers to answer the marathon opening drive by the Chicago Bears, in which they had to settle for a field goal. We are already at under 4 minutes in the first quarter of this game. And the Packers are still in the middle of their first drive.
Yeah, quick response. So already first and 10 from the Chicago 15. Love 2 for 3, 42 yards. I've seen two pretty good runs from Josh Jacobs as well. Had an end around on the first play. So everything working early here for the Packers offense as they try and punch it in and take the lead here. But my field goal, very live now, Matt. Just need to stop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look at that. +330, the mythical bet that we didn't make that we always talk about.
Yeah, the mythical random drive bet
that we didn't make. Second down, it was a run by Jacobs. Second down, about 6 there in that one. All right, Mike, got a whole bunch of other games to talk about here, and we'll keep you updated on this one as scoring happens and big plays happen and things like that. But Buffalo heads on the road to Jacksonville, and here we go. The market spoke as the limits went up a little bit. Now, again, insignificant, but flip favorite situation here. We go from the 1.5 on the Buffalo side to 1.5 on the Jacksonville side. 51.5, the prevailing total. So it seems like some of the people, Mike, were waiting on this one until the limits got a little bit higher for them to come in and really, really take a stand here on this one. But the Jacksonville Jaguars hosting the Buffalo Bills, and they get the action here on Saturday. Now, that being said, could have something to do with the injury report as well. Josh Palmer out for the Bills. Terrell Bernard, starting linebacker, is out for the Bills. Shaq Thompson, starting linebacker, is questionable for the Bills. So already going to be definitely without a wide receiver and a linebacker, might be without two linebackers. And they got kicker issues as well. Tyler Bass, as you know, is already on IR. And then Matt Prater is questionable. They had to shut him down last week, as you remember. And then we'll see if he's able to go in this one, as we do get Christian Watson into the end zone. Cash those Christian Watson first touchdown bets out there as he runs a little crossing route, gets into the end zone. That one much more, certainly wasn't fast, but faster than we got from the Bears. That one nearly took 5 minutes. We're down to the 206 minute mark, and each team's had the ball one time.
Yeah, the Bears took a little more time. It's a Green Bay a little bit more efficient there moving down the field. As you mentioned, Christian Watson scores running a little crossing behind the line of scrimmage on a play action play and just beats the cornerback to the pylon there to give the Packers the early lead. I am happy the money went to Jacksonville. I was getting a little worried. I didn't hear anyone who was picking Buffalo in this game, and yet we were still sitting there, Buffalo minus 1.5. Now the money following to Jacksonville makes me feel a little bit better that we've seen this flip, because anytime you see everyone picking Jacksonville yet the spread not move, that tells you where the sharp money is going. In this case, it looks like it is moving a little bit toward Jacksonville once the limits went up, as you mentioned. Love one bet in here, Matt. You mentioned the kicker issues. Mm. How about this one? Longest field goal make of the game. Jacksonville Jaguars, minus 150. You get the better kicker against a banged up team that likes to go for it on fourth down anyway. Give me the Jaguars to kick the longest field goal, minus 150 here.
The Jags left tackle is questionable in this one, so we'll be watching to see if he is able to go whenever the inactive list comes out in this one. So, Mike, I look and the real big mismatch here is Buffalo's run defense is so bad. And I know that the Jags have leaned into Trevor Lawrence more throwing the ball. And this offense has a direct correlation to everything firing up to the trade deadline when they acquired Jacoby Myers. Then Brian Thomas got back healthy. Then Britton Strange came off of IR. And so you basically got like a 3-for-1 when we got to the trade deadline and this offense took off. And I get they've been throwing more, and I get it because they're really good at it. But I kind of feel like Liam Cohen's super sharp, and I think that he could look at this and see that they have a huge advantage in the rush game. And I kind of start to gravitate a little bit towards ATN, and I don't love him obviously as a runner, but man, I think there's a chance where he might really get a lot of work in this game.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I wish his anytime touchdown price was better than minus 145, because that's where my immediate thought went to, because not only do you have that bad run defense, but you also see Etienne get targeted in the red zone as well. You could go two touchdowns if you want a little better price, but that's still just plus 400, so it's not like you're getting a monster number on Etienne getting in the end zone twice. I'm interested to see how Buffalo comes out in this game, because they know their run defense stinks. Mm-hmm. Are they going to just say, hey, we'll give up the run. We're going to make you march down the field 12, 13, 14 plays and see if you can beat us by essentially paper cuts on the offensive mm-hmm. side, versus letting Trevor Lawrence go to this really matured wide receiving core that he now has with all three of those possible targets, as well as Strange at the tight end position. I feel like the Bills defense just bad in general. Yes, their run defense isn't good. It's not like this pass defense is elite. It's not like you can't pick apart the pass defense too. I think Jacksonville has success no matter what they decide to do, as long as we get good Trevor Lawrence. And we've gotten good Trevor Lawrence the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season. We haven't had those just like, what are you doing throws? Why would you ever throw it to that receiver? Why would you throw that pick? We haven't had those moments since we've seen this full complement of weapons under the Liam Cohen system. So I like Jacksonville in this spot. We've talked about Jacksonville as an AFC competitor here. I think they have a very good chance of coming out of the AFC, especially when you attach the price to it. They're the fourth choice in the market right now. I do like them tomorrow. I've got a Jacksonville plus 1.5 bet in my account already.
So I didn't catch it on the way up, but I do have a pick 'em, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I think when it's all said and done, I will probably end up adding. So ATN sitting at 64.5 yards. If he gets the work that I think he's going to get here, Mike, that's too low. The other thing about this run defense being bad is, like, they don't tackle well either. They're sitting here at the worst yards after contact in the NFL. They have three different linebackers. One is already ruled out. So now think of his backup. If one is already ruled out, now think of what his backup is. They have three different linebackers inside the top 20 in missed tackle rate. Like three different guys, and one of them's already ruled out, so his backup's going to be in there. If that guy was that bad, think how bad his backup must be in this. And so I don't know. Like I said, I think Liam Cohen's, I think he's sharp, and I don't think he's going to be stubborn in this. And I know they've been really efficient passing the ball ever since all those guys came back. And I think that Liam Cohen really kind of caught his stride too, and was started calling really, really good games. And Trevor Lawrence didn't make the stupid penalties, but the stupid plays, but I do believe ATN. And here's the deal. Even though Tootin's back, he only gets a handful of carries, right? I mean, like, so I'm not really worried about him getting too much into ATN's workload here. He'll probably get 6 or 7 carries. So I'm not really too worried about that either. So I really like that, but I think this is a really, really, really good move on this. I think that the people betting Jacksonville are betting the right side of this thing. I think if you really go in and look under the hood as to what's going on with Buffalo, you see a team that is getting by on having Superman at quarterback. Now, you have the best player in the playoffs, and if you have the best player in the playoffs, that is a very good thing to have. And if you and I are sitting here talking tomorrow, Mike, and the reason the Bills won is because Josh Allen ran for 78 yards and 3 touchdowns, and, you know, again, like we talk about all the time, put the cape on and did it. It's not going to shock me. You have the best player in the playoffs, but there's still the looming foot injury. There's still the fact that the offensive line isn't all that great. There's still the fact that you don't really have any playmakers on the receiving side of things. Like, there's just a lot, I think, going against Buffalo here, and I think they'll retool in the offseason, get him another weapon or two, but I don't think it's this year. I don't think they're the team this year.
Yeah, it feels like if Buffalo wins, Allen throws for 3 runs for 2 and this game flies over, right? That is their route to winning, is they just simply outscore Jacksonville and Allen's able to find a way to make it happen. And my biggest concern around Buffalo here is that we have seen James Cook be a phenomenal complement to Allen all season long. He's been able to run the football consistently. We've seen this Buffalo team run the football very well without Josh Allen's legs. He's been a big part of their explosive plays when you look at the running game as well. This is a really good Jacksonville Jaguars run defense. Mm-hmm. Are the Bills going to be able to run the football against the Jags? If not, I mean, that puts even more pressure on Josh Allen to try and figure out how he's going to be able to take over this game and be able to try and win it. I just think it makes it too difficult with the set of weapons that Allen has and the fact that I don't think the run game works very well for Buffalo here. All of that adds up toward the Jacksonville being the side that I like in this spot. But again, like I wouldn't be shocked if I come in tomorrow and you mentioned it and Allen just threw the cape on. Yeah. And he was just the best player in this game and has the opportunity to be the best player in the playoffs and able to try and just carry this Buffalo team to a AFC title. He is the best quarterback in the playoffs. He is the best quarterback in the AFC. We'll see if he's got enough around him. Because I your weapon comment, like, they could have gotten Jacoby Myers. They could have gotten Jalen Waddle. They decided not to do that at the trade deadline. Feels like it'd be nice to have either of those guys on your squad right now if you're Buffalo.
The 51.5 total is a little interesting to me. But because both teams are really good at explosives, it kind of negates the fact. But these are actually the two slowest paced teams in the league. They are slower than Aaron Rodgers, who is 30th. But this is the 31st and 32nd paced team in the league. So they take their time between plays. 7-3 right now, Packers over the Bears.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somage on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you guys being with us here, Channel 158, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app and terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. 7-3 in favor of Green Bay over the Bears. So the Bears decide to go for it on 4th-and-2 in their own territory, and they do convert. Good on Caleb Williams. He saw the blitz coming. What do? You throw back towards the blitz and gets it done. But we talk about the howitzer of an arm that he's got. Mike, did you see the replay of that? DJ Moore caught the back half of that ball. Like, I mean,
yeah, that thing was absolutely slung. That was a rope about 15 yards down the field, and Moore able to just hang on.
I mean, he caught the back. If you want to see why these wide receivers' hands are different than your hands and my hands, go watch that replay. I mean, the dude caught the back half of the ball. It was thrown so hard, and he still caught the back half of the ball. But here we go. A nice try. By the way, this is the second time the Bears have had the ball. We're at the 12:50 mark of the second quarter. This game, oh my gosh. I mean, long drives by both teams. We're getting another long one here by the Bears. Are they going to go for it on 4th? I guess they are. You went for it on 4th-and-2. You can go for it on 4th-and-6.
Especially when you run the ball on 3rd-and-7. They were clearly setting up this as 4-down territory. We'll see what they decide to do here as they run down the play clock. And they are going to snap it here.
Oh,
and we'll see what the play call is. No pressure.
Arm punt.
Terrible throw. Yeah. He had Burden down the sideline, just did not. I don't know if he thought Burden was going to cut in, or what the communication was there. He's pissed.
Judging by his reaction, Burden ran the wrong route.
Yeah, he definitely expected Burden to be in a different spot there. And he was open down the sideline. Probably would have been open if he ran an in cut, which was what it looked like Caleb Williams threw.
That is. But, okay.
Not the worst case scenario for the Bears. You almost want to drop that.
No, you do. That's what I'm saying. Like, game IQ for some of these dudes, I know it doesn't show up in the stats and you want to get your stats, but that's a great punt. What just happened?
Yeah.
He punted it inside the 10-yard line.
Yes.
I mean,
again, not the worst case scenario for the Bears to turn it over on 4th-down, because you actually gain 30 yards there by turning it over on that play.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, it's like, have the wherewithal. There's no one around you. So like, you can't say like, well, I didn't want the receiver to catch it. There was no one even in your line of sight. Like, there was no one in vision. So anyway,
you gotta get that wild card weekend interception, Matt. You only have so many chances.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, I know it doesn't show up in the stats. That's one of those, like, the coaches pat you on the back. Yeah, you probably don't, you know, you don't get to say I had an interception in a playoff game, but dude, come on, man. Bat the ball down. It's 30 yards of field position.
The celebration is incredible, too, as he runs down the field to celebrate with his teammates of an interception that cost you 30 yards.
It cost you 30 yards. You're like, it's 4th-down, moron. Oh, man. Anyway, so the Packers will start with the ball deep in their own territory with a 4-point lead, 7-3 here. 49ers on the road at the Philadelphia Eagles, and the money has come in on Philadelphia. We have gotten all the way out to 6 at most spots in favor of the Eagles. 44.5. Yeah, pretty much 44.5 everywhere. 143.5 out there in the market, but this is pretty much injury news here. This was already trending towards Philadelphia and just kept going. Whenever we get Trent Williams, Ricky Pearsall, D. Winters, Luke Gifford, Renardo Green, those are all starters. They're all questionable. Winters is listed as questionable. He was 3 DNPs. Gifford, DNPs on Thursday and Friday. They're not going to play. I mean, Pearsall, 3 DNPs. Trent Williams at least got in a couple of limiteds. So he will probably play, or at least try to play. We've seen Trent Williams leave games multiple times whenever he's been, you know, tried to go and gotten injured. But they list these guys as questionable, Mike. But I mean, again, you very, very rarely see dudes with multiple DNPs leading into the end of the week and then end up playing.
Yeah, and that's not even to say Tatum Bethune, who leaves the game last weekend, who was your backup linebacker for Fred Warner in the middle. He's not going to play this game. He's on the IR, so he never even made the injury list there. So not wonderful injury news for a San Francisco 49ers team that, let's be honest, kind of behind the eight ball with this matchup anyway. It's all about whether or not the offense for San Francisco can score every single drive or close to it, because if Philly executes at a reasonable level, they will be able to move the football up and down the field against the San Francisco 49ers defense. It's been atrocious all year long. It's gotten significantly worse as they've lost more and more players to injury. I played the Eagles at a better number. At six, I'm still Eagles or pass. I think this is a very, very tough spot for San Francisco, and I don't mind Eagles alts if you want to go that direction.
Yeah, the Eagles side of things, injury report actually looks pretty good. Lane Johnson's listed as questionable, but he got in three limiteds, and so that is trending towards Lane Johnson going for the Eagles. If you want to poke a hole in something, and it would just be if there were an injury situation on that offensive line, Brett Toth is their swing offensive lineman. He's out with a concussion. He got concussed, so like he's not going to be able to go. But again, he only factors in, Mike, if there is an injury on that offensive line, as it is anyway. Look, we talked about this on Wednesday. I dug more into this. I think everything that we talked about on Wednesday is going to ring true in this game, which is the 49ers can win this game, but they have to play flawlessly on offense because they are 18th in the NFL in explosive pass percentage, and they are 27th in the NFL in explosive run percentage. They just don't get chunk plays. So you have to their drives are long. There's tons of plays, methodical. It's check downs out of the backfield to McCaffrey. It's the 7-yard passes to Kittle, all those things like that. And like when you play like that, you can win games, and they did win games because they are so efficient. But this defense is a different animal. You're getting the team that's seventh in pressure rate on the season. If Trent Williams can't go, then now you get an offensive line without your stud left tackle with a team that's inside the top seven in pressure rate on the season. I think this could end poorly. We have gone there multiple times this season. I'm going there again. When I think an offensive line is going to allow a ton of pressure and it's a mobile quarterback, I take the over rush yards. I took over 16.5 with Brock Purdy. I know we do this. We've done this all year long. Honestly, this is one I went and looked at the stats here, Mike. Like when the handicap was basically mobile quarterback under pressure over rush yards, whatever, we hit it like 66% this year. So like we were 2 for 3. Like we won 2 out of every 3 of one of those bets that we made this year. So Purdy over 16.5. And here's the deal. This is also kind of a handicap on Purdy as well. Like he's like sneaky good at scrambling. Like he finds the holes pretty well and gets those kind of extra 2-3 yards that you see some of these savvy quarterbacks get on their scramble attempts and stuff. And so I think he's going to run. I think he's good at it.
Yeah, we got home last week 18 there against Seattle, where he had 2 rushes for 21 yards. His number was 16.5 in that game as well. I like it when these are lower numbers too, Matt, when we're not sitting in the you know, 34 range, yeah, right, where we saw some of Herbert's numbers. This is where we're sitting down here at 16. That probably takes 2, maybe 3 scrambles. And this is a front four that is going to be able to get home. If you get man coverage behind the front four, that's going to open up scramble opportunities even more for Purdy. So don't mind that bet at all. The run game for San Francisco has to find a way to show up here. You mentioned like San Francisco to win, their offense has to be basically mistake-free. McCaffrey hasn't been overly efficient in the run game. He has been very good as a wide receiver, but not overly efficient in the run game. That needs to change because this San Francisco team cannot rely on being able to just drop back and throw the football 40, 45 times against this Eagles secondary. You're going to end up with turnover-worthy plays from Purdy because of the pressure that's going to be put on him. You're going to end up with interceptions. That's going to be a shortcoming of the San Francisco offense. So the run game, to me, wildly important. And that all goes back to Trent Williams. We've seen this team miss different pieces throughout the last 2 seasons. We've seen them with Kittle missing. We've seen them with Purdy missing. We've seen them with Pearsall missing, with Ayuk missing, with all of these different pieces out. And they've moved the football as long as Trent Williams has been in. If Trent Williams is out, that is an even bigger problem for San Francisco. So he is the one injury, more than everything on the defensive side, which they have already been ravaged by injuries.
Yeah.
It's that Trent Williams injury, which I think is the key focus here of whether or not San Francisco is going to be able to really stay in this game. And if to make matters worse, Seattle literally just gave him the blueprint. They gave Vic Fangio the blueprint of how to stop the San Francisco team. Seattle gave up just 3 points. And these are comparable defenses from a rush four, be able to drop back in coverage perspective.
TJ Edwards getting carted off the field for the Bears. That is not good. He has with an air cast on his leg. He has sacks. He has interceptions. He has everything. He's a do-it-all guy for this Bears defense. So that is a really bad. Oh God. Oh, his ankle went through.
All right, I won't watch the replay. That reaction I just won't watch.
Those are so gross to me. Why do they show that? Amazon, CBS would not have shown us that. Fox would not have. What are you doing? Why did you do it?
Different audience here. Different audience with Amazon, yeah, not cable TV.
We've opted in because we streamed. Like, you know, it's like, hey, you opted into this. All right. You're gonna get all the grocery. Like,
we have the boys on this. That's much worse than this injury.
Golly. That was disgusting. Oh,
golden longest reception over.
Yeah, where, like I said, that was where this defense was susceptible. One other interesting fact here in this 49ers-Eagles game I want to talk about here on the other side.